Big Jim's house.
So Ryan's facing his fears. There's a lot of people that face their fears, that whether it's skydiving or Mike Tyson went and faced his fears with sharks on Sunday night. And you're facing your fears today by doing what?
I got to go get an oil change in my car. I don't...
You do, because you've been stressed out about this. You're getting stressed out about it right now.
It just brings me anxiety. I don't know if does that mean it's a fear, then, if something brings you anxiety?
Kind of.
Because I'm like it with going to doctor's offices and everything.
So we're talking about, though, you pull in.
You just pull in.
Your drive-in oil change. A lot of great men and women working in the Motor City do that and do great jobs. You pull in, and they go ding, ding, and you're like, yeah, I'd like to get an oil change. And then what happens?
I just get nervous, and then, you know, because they do the whole thing. Well, oh, you need a new air filter. This thing's getting pretty old. Oh, your windshield wipers look a little old. Oh, we want to, and I'm just like, I end up making up lies on why I don't want to buy that stuff.
Just say no.
I just, like, I came up with a whole story today, because I think I'm 3,000 miles over, which that's not super bad, right?
Okay.
So
you guys can hear it, by the way, can't you? Can you hear the anxiety in his voice?
So I'm 3,000 miles over, which I think is okay, but I need to go get an oil change. And then I'm driving in today, I'm going, what's the story I'm going to come up with of why I'm 3,000 over?
Why do you need a story?
So I came up with this whole thing about COVID and how I haven't driven my car a lot, but then I got distracted driving, and, you know, it's just been a crazy couple of months, so I forgot to go do it. That's what I'm going to say to you.
You're serious?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I'm already
trying to think of it.
Oh,
and why I only want an oil change and nothing else, like, trying to think of, you know, like, I don't have much money right now. Hold on.
Is anyone willing to walk? I've been trying for, like, the better part of 2 weeks to walk Ryan through this. Just walk you through the steps of going in where you don't have to be nervous about this.
I think some of it stems from me getting spoiled with my mom being a hairdresser. So I've never had to go into a hair salon.
You're dragging your mom into getting an oil change now?
And then my sister's a dental hygienist. So I've always had somebody to clean my teeth. That's what I've always said. If I could have, like, an eye doctor and an oil change person in my family, I'd be good to go because I'd feel comfortable driving in there. But, God, am I a child.
Why are you dragging Liz into this? There's nothing new with your mom. This is you.
No, I'm just saying. I've had the, been comfortable.
Angie, did you notice something? During the conversation, you almost ripped the tab off your Sharpie. You're so anxious. You're really anxious about this.
It's a force yourself to go and do this today.
This isn't a radio bit, folks. This is genuine. You have anxiety about going.
Right when you cross over the little thing that goes ding to tell them that you're there, I'm like, here we go. Strap in, dude. You got 15 minutes of hell in front of you.
You don't. You sit in the car and do nothing. They do all the work.
You know what's the other thing is that I think I can get away with?
What?
Is I go to the same place, but I always take the sticker off before. Like, they're not going to know how many miles it's been since I got an oil change.
Wow.
And then I'll go, you know what? The sticker fell off, and I wasn't sure on when I got my last one, so here's the whole process.
All right. I can't help you, dude. We've tried for 2 weeks here. You've been avoiding this we're over through that. The past 2 weeks, you've been talking about this in the studio.
Yeah, I know.
And I swear to God, I thought you were joking when you first brought it up.
I have to do it today, though. I'm going to force myself.
You can do it.
Who's got a place that can just do it for me? Any nice listeners out there?
What, do you want them to hand you a puppy so you can pet it while they're doing your oil change so you don't freak out?
God, I can hear it. I sound like a schoolgirl right now.
You're getting high, guy. You're going high. You nervous?
No, it's just getting me worked up thinking about it.
So you're 3,000 over. What happened there?
You know, the COVID stuff, and it was just, I was, you know, wasn't sure on when I got my last oil change, so I knew you guys could tell me by the computer and stuff, so.
Well, the weird thing is, you may not know this, but the guy who's getting your oil change is right there walking to
Big Jim's house.
If you've got this item, it's worth a lot of money, and it means a lot to Bob Seger's people. We're not joking about this. The reason being, we'll explain all this, so hang with us. If you're a Seger fan or if you're into rock and roll memorabilia, we'll get into this. It's been a while since we had a tractor story, a lawn tractor story, a riding lawnmower story. And this is a good one. Comes out of Florida. Shocking, Ryan. Florida.
Florida.
What? Text us. The keyword is
drunk.
It's an older gentleman. He's drunk driving on his riding lawnmower. I got a riding lawnmower. You got a riding lawnmower. It's got a cup holder right there. You don't take a beverage with you? No?
Oh, you have to.
Okay.
I've driven mine up to the liquor store before right down my street. I feel like it's safer than a car at some point.
Take the lawnmower to the liquor store, dude. Now listen closely, because this is the video. What you're going to see, this whole video again, 248-398-9279. The keyword is...
drunk.
And we'll send it right to your phone. You can watch it when you can. Listen closely to the conversation between this guy and the cop.
What is going on?
Yeah.
You know you're in the road, right?
Was I?
You were. How much you have to drink tonight?
A couple.
A couple?
Couple.
I think it's a little more than a couple.
Okay, I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah. Well, where are you headed?
I'm just going home.
Going home? Well, where are you coming from?
My house.
So you came from your house and you're headed to your house?
Yeah.
So what, you just started driving around in your lawnmower?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Are you going to take me to jail or not?
No, I didn't say that. I said we're going to do some field sobriety exercises.
I have been drinking.
Okay. That's fine.
I have been drinking.
I understand. You told me that.
I love this guy. There's more, too. We have a lot more video up there. Again, keyword drunk. We'll send it right to your phone.
No, you just wanted to take... I was telling you this before the show. You had a few pops, wanted to take a little ride on his riding lawnmowers. It's a nice night out. Done that plenty of times.
Where are you going? Home. Where are you coming from?
Home.
My house.
Big Jim's house.
Do you have an interesting piece of rock and roll memorabilia? We want to hear from you this morning. 248-398-9279. 248-398-WCSX. No, it's early. You got time? Call. That'd be great. Don't worry about it if you can. You can text. Either way. But if you got some memorabilia, we want to hear from you. There's two reasons. Number one, we're giving away a very cool piece of rock and roll memorabilia that nobody else is going to have.
Yeah, it's a Guns N' Roses home plate from Comerica Park from this year.
Which you brought up yesterday on the air. We were talking about this. Text us. The keyword for that is...
plate.
Yeah. The concert obviously didn't happen, so that makes it even more collectible.
Absolutely. You got something from a show that never existed. That's cool.
And you get a chance to win it every week, too. The question changes. 248-398-9279. Texas keyword again is...
plate.
Yeah. Very cool. And we'll throw in a year's worth of hot dogs from David at the butchery. How about that? Okay. The second reason we brought this up. Had a friend of ours, a client here at the radio station, was asking if you guys knew about The Lonely One. If you guys have never heard this, this was Bob Seger's first song ever played on the radio. And it is The Unicorn. If you have the vinyl for this, there were only 6 acetates made. It was played once on the radio at WPAG in Ann Arbor. Bob was 16 when he recorded it. If somebody has one of those 6 things, believe me, I mentioned once that we had a digital copy of it, like you listen to the song.
Right.
I got calls from Seeger's office. Do you have the 45? Do you have it? And I'm like, no, I just have the digital thing. Like, oh, well, if you know anyone who has that, they don't have it. This is the unicorn for Bob Seger fans. This is it.
The one thing they don't have is this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. This is it. Now, we found an interview from 1991. Here's Bob talking about it and actually playing the song. If you want to see a photo and listen to it for yourself, I know we're throwing a lot of keywords at you here. Of course, that one is...
Seger.
Makes sense. Check this out, though.
Timothy White here in the studio with Bob Seger and Bob's acoustic guitar. Bob, would you like to strum something else from the Bob Seger archives?
I'll play you the first song I ever wrote.
Okay, let's hear that.
It's called The Lonely One. I was 16 when I wrote this. She's gone from me for someone new. I guess that's what she's done. People, they sigh as I walk by, and they call me the lonely one. They say, there goes the lonely one. That was another verse, and I can't remember it, but The Lonely One was definitely one of the songs recorded for one purpose, to impress this girl who actually is the girl who I wrote Night Moves about.
Yeah. How cool is that?
Big Jim's house.
And Detroit got to be one of the best cities in the world for rock and roll memorabilia. You think about
it.
You go back to the Grandy and Easttown and Michigan Theater and so many great venues and shows here and Kiss Alive, and Seeger Live, Bullet, and all the amazing shows. So what do you have? 248-398-9279. 248-398-WCSX. There's two reasons we get into this. Number one, we're giving away a home plate from Comerica Park that was supposed to be for the Guns N' Roses concert.
Right, for the Guns N' Roses show this year. That obviously didn't happen.
Yeah.
But you can get something from...
Which is an amazing
thing. That never happened.
This will look pretty damn cool in your house. Keyword plate. We'll send you the link. And then the other thing was we started talking about the Bob Seger unicorn that's out there. And that would be a vinyl pressing of The Lonely One, a song that Bob did when he was 16 years old. He only performed it. It only played once on the radio in Ann Arbor, WPAG. And there were six acetates, like 45s made. If you want to see, we're talking about keyword Seeger. We'll send it right to your phone. Isn't it amazing? You were asking me, like, what do you mean nobody has this? Nobody has this.
I just can't. And we were talking about it, and I think you're right, where somebody has it but doesn't know they have it. And you know what I mean? That's how what it has to be if they're still out there.
It's on. You'll see it when you look at the post. It's on a weird label too. It's not like on a record company label,
right?
It's like, you know, like when you watch that thing you do where they stamp a 45, they go record it.
Yeah, it's like when you made your own mixes and stuff. It just put your own.
That's
your own
what
logos
it is.
On
it's
it.
Just written on there in hand. If you want to, here's a little bit of the song Bob was doing. 248-398-9279. By the way, we want to hear from you guys for your rock and roll memorabilia. But here's a little bit of The Lonely One that we were talking about.
At 16, I wrote this. She's gone from me for someone new. I guess that's what she's done. The people, they sigh as I walk by, and they call me the lonely one. They say, there goes the lonely one.
That's a little bit of it. There is more of that up there, but that's Bob from an interview in the 90s. You could release that now.
Oh, yeah.
If we just get Bob in a studio to do that. That's so easy to do. I'll just call him. Hey, Bob, it's Jimmy.
Got to figure out that second verse, though.
Yeah, forgot about that. Again, keyword Seeger, we'll send you the link, but we really do want to hear from you, your memorabilia. Now, Zach, what you got?
I got a guitar pick from ZZ Top in the stairwell of the Fillmore back in, like, 2008, 2009-ish.
That's when we did our birthday party concert with him.
Okay, yeah, I was working security in the backstage area, and Dusty walked out and was BSing with me about him losing his box of guitar picks, and he whips out five and he hands me one of them.
That's cool.
That's cool. That's awesome, Zach. You hold on to that, man. That's worth a lot.
Oh, will do.
All right, buddy. Have a good morning. Appreciate you listening.
All right, you too.
All right, there he goes. That's cool. Rich and Warren, good morning, buddy.
Yeah, when I was a kid, Seeger's always been my favorite. My dad gave me, I thought it was a Glass album, but it couldn't have been. It was a 78. He had it in a wooden box. It was from before he was with the Silver Bullet Band, when he was playing Osborne High School in Belle Isle. I mean, this thing was like a, like he put it up there next to the damn crucifix, you know? I mean, you could look at it, but you couldn't touch it.
So what happened to it?
Actually, my ex-wife got it.
No, oh, Rich! Man. This story just took a horrible turn.
Oh.
Rich!
Dude, yeah, it sucked. Dude, I was just happy to get away.
Well, yeah. Okay, all right. Well, Rich, thanks for sharing that, I guess. We're all bummed out now.
Yeah.
A 78 from
Seeger. Yeah, I never listened to it play because, you know, it was, you know, too delicate and I couldn't even tell you what it sounded like.
All right. Well, I wonder if that was, maybe he had the unicorns, one of the golden tickets. All right, Rich, you have a good day, bud.
Talk to my ex-wife. I haven't talked to her in 20 years.
All right, we'll call her. Get her his number.
Right. Yeah. Big Jim's house.
We have the unicorn. We don't have it. We wish we had it. The Bob Seger unicorn. The ultimate find for any Seger fan. If you want to see what it is, we'll text it to you. 248-398-9279. The keyword, of course, is
Seger.
We'll give you a little insight into it. The song, and it's the vinyl that it was pressed on because it was only played once on the radio when Bob was... He wrote it when he was 16?
Right, and it played in 61.
Yeah. On WPAG in Ann Arbor. That was it. So you got to take a look at the vinyl. You may have it. If you've got it, Bob Seger's people would like to talk to you. I'm not joking.
Right.
Bob Seger's people would like to talk to you because they don't have it. It is the unicorn, the holy grail for Bob Seger fans. Again, 248-398-9279. Just text us. The keyword is
Seger.
But what do you got? What's your rock and roll memorabilia? Come on, man. We're Detroiters. We got cool stuff. Somebody texted in about Skinner. What was that again?
Yeah, he said, my fiance has a 77 album of Leonard Skinner's Street Survivors. The cover has the band standing in front of flames, and later they changed that due to the plane crash that the band was involved in.
And it's just like, I think, I'm probably wrong, but I think when they changed it, it was just a black background. They got rid of all the flame. Remember Kiss did that with Destroyer?
Yeah, they changed it too.
Because Destroyer was like just some post-apocalyptic flames everywhere. Yeah,
buildings on fire, everything behind them.
I forgot about that. All right, 248-398-9279. Troy Waterford, what you got, man?
Hey, I don't know how much this qualifies for rock and roll memorabilia, but I got sealed 8-tracks, cases of the Guess Who.
What do you mean sealed? Like they've never been opened, they're just there.
They've never been opened. I have pallets of sealed 8-track tapes.
How? How did you get these?
An old man down in Cincinnati had a warehouse full of them, and I got 28 pallets.
28 pallets? So how many, where, Troy, are these?
They're in Waterford, on 59 across from Meyer.
Okay, I know where you're at. Not exactly. I sound like a stalker. I apologize. But you have 28 pallets of Guess. Okay.
Not of just Guess Who, but I have probably a whole 2 pallets of Guess Who.
Do you have any pictures?
If you can get pictures.
If you get time, you should send them to us. That's pretty wild, man. I have no idea what they're worth.
I got an eBay store, and they're still selling.
People are buying them.
Yes, I've been selling them for 5 years.
Wow. How much does a Guess Who 8-track go for these days?
Not a whole lot. Probably about $4 each.
I remember a couple of years ago when Cheap Trick brought out their last album. They released it on 8-track just so they could say they had the number one selling 8-track in the world. They did.
I remember that. Remember? Yeah, it was 2011 or something.
Yeah, it was like 11 copies or something. But anyway. All right, Troy, we got to run. You have a good morning.
All right, thank you. Bye.
All right, there he goes. Okay, that's a lot of A-tracks.
Big Jim's house.
We're talking rock and roll memorabilia because we got a piece of memorabilia that we want to give you. You had the greatest point yesterday, Ryan. By the way, text us if you want to check it out and get a chance to win GNR
home plate. A home plate from the show that never happened, basically.
Echo America Park.
Yeah, and just text the keyword plate, 248-398-9279. You can see how you can win it there. It's awesome, man.
There are certain things, though, just to be able to say from a concert this year that obviously, like you said, never happened. But to have that hanging up in your basement or your rock and roll room. And there's a trivia question on there, pretty easy, especially if you're a Tigers fan. And it changes every week as well. So keyword plate. And because it's baseball related, we're throwing in a year's worth of hot dogs from David and the folks at the butchery. Yeah, man. So we'll do that. We're sitting in the studio, though. We want to hear from you guys. What are your pieces of rock and roll memorabilia? It's always cool to find out what people have. Pieces you'd want here. I'd want one of the pizza boxes from the U2 show at the Palace when they ordered pizza for everybody.
That would be cool, but then I'm thinking about it. Like, you have to have it signed or something.
Certified? How do you certify that?
Because you could just have an old pizza box, and you know what I mean?
I've got 8 pizza boxes from there sitting down in the basement. I'm just a slob, but I'm telling everybody. No, those are U2 ones. Somebody texted in they had a Pez dispenser. Was it a Kiss one or something?
Kiss Pez dispenser.
I'm not big on the whole eBay thing. It's a big, I don't really know, but like, we used to 7-Eleven Slurpee Rock Cups with the rock and roll bands, right? Kiss and Aerosmith. Even had 7-Eleven's got Slurpee Rock Cups. It was like, and you'd go charge into 7-Eleven to go get them. I had them all one time. Dude, I don't remember. I wonder if they're still out there. It was a big deal when you got the, because they would have Gene and Ace and Peter and Paul separately and then as the band.
They're selling a set of 4 of them, the super big gulp set of 4, Kiss 7-Eleven cups for $50.
Really?
4 of them for $50.
All right, what's your memorabilia? 248-398-9279. 7-Eleven's got Slurpee Rock Cups. Ted Roseville, what you got?
Yeah, I got something good.
What's that?
I have an original album from, well, you know who Doug Figer is, The Knack?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, before he was a Knack, he had a high school band called... I can't even remember the name now. But I have his album from that, from before he was a Knack. He grew up right down the street from me.
You have a high school band album of Doug Figer's before the Knack.
Yep.
That's cool, man. All right, I got to get our record player out, man. I'd love to hear some of that. Ted, that's so cool. Hold on to that, okay?
If I come by there, I'll drop it by so you can listen to it if you want.
Done. We got a record player here. Thank you, buddy. You have a good day.
Yeah, you do.
There goes Ted. See you, bud. Frank and Wyandotte. Frank, what you got?
What I got is a Coors can that Burton Cummings threw out in the audience at a concert in 1975.
That's fantastic. Seriously?
I went down to the Cobo Hall to get tickets at noon that day, got eighth row seats, and saw Peter Frampton opening up, probably the last time he opened in Detroit before he hit it big. And then the Guess Who came on, they played the song from the new album called Chorus for Sunday. And Cummings said, it's great to be back in the U.S., best beer in the world. Chugs down a can of Coors, tosses it out in the crowd right into my hands.
That's fantastic. And you've got the story to go with it, man. Frank, you're awesome, buddy. Appreciate you sharing that.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, there it goes. 248-3989. Did you find the band?
Yeah. So the band, it consisted of three guys, and it was called Sky.
Sky.
Yeah, they recorded two albums, released them too through RCA, and then broke up in 73. But even the other guys that went on to work with a couple of famous people and do some stuff in music too. But
Figer, so that was Figer Doug, was that was Doug Figer.
He was the biggest name to come out of that. But they opened up for like Jethro Tull, The Who, Bob Seger.
Sky did?
Sky did, yeah, back.
Really?
Yeah, they said they're pretty long, along the lines of The Grateful Dead is what their sound
was. So the original
like.
Song was Sky Sharona.
Big Jim's House.
One of the coolest stories that has a Detroit connection to it. It's about a man who was blind, gets his sight back, and he wants one car. Think about that. If you could have one car your whole life, you could barely see him, but now you can actually get a car. What would you get? It's a great story. We'll get to that. We'll actually talk with him in about 20 minutes. One of the hottest videos flying around the interwebs, if you're logged online, these two young men, and they legitimately do this. They'll sit down and listen to songs they have never heard before, and people will make suggestions to them.
Right. Yeah. They've done a couple of them leading up to this one.
And it's priceless. This is posted up on our website at WCSX.com. I don't know. Did you keyword this?
Keyword Phil.
Phil. These two young gentlemen sit down and listen to In the Air Tonight. And their reaction is just the best. Were you telling me the record sales, like the individuals for In the Air Tonight, are like through the roof?
Yeah, there's an 1,100% increase on the sale of this song.
You know the first time I heard In the Air Tonight? I think a lot of people did. Miami Vice.
Oh, really?
That was the first time that not a cover, but a real artist had put their song in a TV show like that.
Oh, wow.
So you're sitting there in the 80s. You guys tell me if I'm wrong, but I remember In the Air Tonight, I remember it, is Don Johnson whipping around Miami, and that was playing. Well, there's a little bit of this. Again, 248-398-9279. Same number you used to call, you text us, and the keyword again is...
Phil.
Their reaction...
I ain't gonna lie, you got me on that one, man. I ain't never seen nobody drop a beat three minutes into a song.
It's a great video.
Yeah, they're called the Twins, the new trend on YouTube. They've done a ton of these, and they're hilarious, every one of them.
Did they do one from Boston? I swear they did, like,
yeah, they got Boston. But the funny ones are, they got some country songs that they're doing on there and stuff. Oh, just Lord. All over the place. It's great.
Big Jim's House.
This story is one of the coolest stories that we found. It's on the Garage page. Text us. The keyword, of course, is
Garage.
And you'll hear the whole podcast. Mike is the greatest guy in the world. But imagine growing up where you're legally blind. Everything's kind of a blur. Not kind of a blur. It is a blur. And after a point, and you'll hear this in the podcast, Mike had kind of relegated himself to the fact that That's the way it was going to be.
Right.
Lived as normal of a life as he could. Gave up on the idea of driving when he was like 12. And modern medicine being the way modern medicine is, guess what? Surgery came along and he got his sight back. He can now see his wife and his kids.
For the first time.
For the first time.
Amazing.
It's hard to comprehend, isn't it? I mean, to think to yourself like, okay, this guy can see. And here's the cool part. And that's why immediately we thought Detroiters will love this story. Because the guy's a total gearhead.
Right.
He loves cars. And he went and got himself a car. Mm-hmm. And not just any car for his first car.
He did it up, baby.
A Corvette, a C7 Corvette. And he tricked it out, too. It's got gull wing doors on it. It's badass.
Yeah.
So if you want to hear this entire conversation with Mike, text us, 248-398-9279. The keyword, of course, is...
Garage.
We're talking about what it was like when they actually had the surgery.
Oh, it's nuts. I mean, everything just started to become more clear. I could see details, shape, definition of things. Basically, third dimension is starting to come in, so I'm actually seeing depth, which I never had, and it's really hard to describe. I mean, I was totally tripped out by things.
So, why the Corvette, other than the fact that it's an amazing car? Why the Grand Sport? Oh, what was it?
It's just so hot. I mean, when I started looking, at first I didn't think it was possible. Like I wasn't really expecting to get that much gain out of it. I really just hoped that the eyes would be a little steadier and, you know, I'd be a little more comfortable with my life. But when I started actually seeing better, I was like, well, now I got to pick a car. And everybody said, well, you should get a truck. And I said, no, I don't think so. I just started looking around and I saw this Corvette online and I was like, that's so hot. I got to get it.
First time you drove the car, well, paint that picture for us.
I was freaking out. It was pretty scary, man. I mean, she just had so much power and I really hadn't had a lot of experience yet. I was still on what they call a learner's license. So I always had to drive with a co-pilot, a supervisor. And so I just had to get used to the thing at first, just kind of getting around the city. Where I picked it up, and I got out into the country on the highway, and then I could just open it up a little more and really play.
We got to get you on a track.
That would be a dream.
Seriously? A track day would be something you'd be willing to do?
Oh, man, that'd be just an absolute trip. I would just have a blast just pulling that out wide open.
There you go. So, Mike has never been on a track with this car. He's never been on a track at all. I mean, much less... How would you like to be the passenger with him the first time you take off, though? You sure you can see? Mike, you sure about this? We got him. All right. Terry Radigan's on the phone. Terry, if you don't know, is the head of corporate communications for Chevrolet. Morning, Terry.
Good morning.
So we just played a clip of our podcast interview with our friend Mike in Canada. And Terry, you're aware of the story as well, who lost his sight, regained it, and got himself a C7 Corvette that he's tricked out and drives all over the place. How Motor City is this guy, even if he's from Canada?
Isn't that an inspirational story? And it's a miracle that he got his sight back. And then, of course, that the vehicle he selected was a Corvette is just a perfect Motor City story.
Now, he's been telling, him and I've talked about this, that he's never been to a concert. He's never been to a sporting event. He's never been to a race because of his vision. He said it's just too frustrating, the idea that he couldn't see. And now that he can... we have a race here that we're going to do next year in Detroit, don't we, Terry?
Well, we've got the Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear coming up in June of 2021.
So what do you think? What can we do for Mike, Terry?
Well, I think we for sure want to get him here. Why don't we offer him a hot lap, ride-along hot lap with one of our drivers or one of our executives, maybe access to the paddock area. To the pits, the whole thing. We ought to really show him Detroit hospitality and get him a chance to get on the track as well as to watch the fantastic racing, the duel in Detroit. It's Saturday and Sunday, and it's just a fantastic weekend.
Look at you.
Awesome.
I'm at Terry. Woo! Hey, big thank you to not only you but everybody at Chevrolet for once you guys heard about this, to do this. Mike's listening right now. You know that. He's listening in Canada. He's up early listening just to this. So
that's fantastic. Well, we're inspired by him and would be delighted to host him in Detroit.
Thanks. God, that's awesome. This is what we do in Detroit, man. Yep. Okay. Terry, you're the best, buddy. Get back to work, and you and I'll talk after the show, okay?
Big Jim's House.
Big shot. CSX Big Jim's House, right around 9:20. Big Jim O'Brien. There's Ryan Logan, Angie, and you guys. Thanks so much for joining us, too, and being part of the show. You can email us, bigjimshouse@wcsx.com. Hit me up on Twitter, @WCSXJim. I'm always ranting about football or something. But this dad... Okay, it's posted. The keyword is...
Dad.
Is this a good idea or a bad idea? He's very... I hear by your little laugh that you agree. I'm not sure. So he has a little affix, a term for, you know, your life hack. This is a life hack for right. dealing with little kids who won't take a nap.
Sometimes I like to turn on movies that are in Spanish, and then my kids look at me all confused and wonder why they can't understand it. And I say, well, I don't know why, but you're probably just tired and you need to take a nap. And then when they wake up from their nap, I take the same movie and put it in English, and they think that they're all better.
That laugh makes it, that's an evil laugh, man.
Oh, man.
So who, I don't care. Again, 248-398-9279, the keyword is.
Dad.
See, you haven't had kids yet. When, trying to get little kids to lay down for a nap is a whipping sometimes. It's a whipping.
I got all the nieces and nephews, and we used to do the Big Bad Wolf. If you don't nap, Big Bad Wolf's coming.
That's called threatening
and
the kids.
They used to go, the Big Bad Wolf, shh, and then they'd go to pass out.
You can't threaten the kids. You threaten the kids. That's all it is. Take a nap or I'm going to get the big bad bat. I mean, what is that? You can't do that. Good Lord. Again, if you want to see the video, you guys decide. The dad, though, it's a great idea. 248-398-9279. We'll send it to you. The keyword is...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.